For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Finding your battery chargers. We're going to be talking about finding your battery chargers. I'll begin with a quote by Sarah Mendnick. Most of us live our lives as the human equivalent of smartphones running on 10% battery power. At any given time, you're just an hour or so away from shutting off, but you insist on eking out a few more minutes in low power mode, which means you're slower than you need to be, dimmer, you feel drained, stressed out, your processing time stinks. But the truth is, you have battery chargers everywhere. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is battery powers, battery chargers, where we have them. Because self-care really is our way of recharging our inner battery so we can live life to our fullest. We can give ourselves the mental, physical, social, emotional, and spiritual resources we need in that moment. Instead of powering through on low power mode, we can be energized with a full battery. This helps us to be resilient so we can better cope with the challenges of life. According to Joe Ritchie, we often sacrifice self-care because we're too busy trying to save everyone else. But people have to learn their own lessons in life, however painful that is. Who are you to decide that you know what's right for them? Now that is selfish, and it's based on your own desires for them, which may not truly be in their best interests. That one really resonated with me because I was always taking care of my kids and getting the eye roll because I was not really taking care of their needs, but my needs to take care of them. You know, I spent many years of my life trying to run other people's lives because I felt like if I didn't know everything and do everything, then I wasn't good enough. And so I had to know what to do, and it was my way or the highway, kind of. And I put out signals that I would put others' needs above my own, and therefore, I attracted people who were happy to have me do that in my life. Now I see that it was simply just a distraction from focusing on myself, my vulnerabilities, and my needs. As long as I was taking care of other people, I could believe that I didn't have time to take care of myself. And to strengthen that perception, our culture rewarded me to put others' needs above my own. And I think we all feel that, yes.
I have a question about that. At that time, when you are talking, you noticed that you were not taking care of you, or you didn't?
I didn't even give a thought as to whether or not I was taking care of me. Yeah. I was taking care of everyone else, and I really thought I didn't have any needs. You know, everything was okay. I was just fine. And I would run myself ragged, but not realizing that I wasn't taking care of myself.
Isn't that a huge part of being a mom?
It is. It's also...
I mean, I'm not a mom. Yeah, so I don't know. Is. But I would it guess is. That would be a lot of moms are like that.
In a lot of women, too.
In my culture, it was the same. You have a day is more than...
Your culture is the same?
It's more than.
More than,
yeah.
What culture is that?
Spanish culture.
Spanish,
yeah.
Oh, sure.
In our culture, I don't know the Spanish people over here, but in my country, Ecuador, we used to, and I still missing that part, used to have a big house with all the kids around, with all the families, with all, and over there, the usual number of kids were around at least 5, 10. Somebody would have 12, 13.
Mm-hmm.
But the usual thing was to be in, like I repeated, in a big house, all of them at the same time in the same house, living together and feeling the family.
Mm-hmm.
Over here is not that. That was when I moved over here, I was wishing that we can do that. But my kids move out, and I think this was not right.
Mm-hmm.
It's because this culture.
Right.
Kids have to go out, have their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
the difference. And I am still missing that.
Yeah.
I wish that I could have all of them together, take care of all of them together.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things.
Yeah. And go ahead, Joanne.
And for me, what you describe it is an idea.
I don't think they can hear you.
Hard to hear the conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you hear what was said here?
Did you hear what Mariana said about her culture in Ecuador, where they had the whole family, large families, living together in one house, and the role of the mother was to take care of everyone?
Oh, and my. I have enough with my two.
Yeah. And
I can't imagine having a whole troop.
Yes.
Yeah. And for me, what you describe is an ideal. I think my ideal thinks that that's the way we should, that's a better way. And recently I had a young Cuban woman with me, she's a 27-year-old, and she talked about how everybody's together, everybody knows everybody's business. She left Cuba, she was about 21 years old, just a young adult. And to hear her tell me about her family in Cuba, everybody together, then she said, but this is better. Every person needs a little bit of space in order to just be able to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but on the other hand, our families and my mother couldn't help each other. Means that if they need, if they were in need of food, everybody had.
Mm-hmm.
If they need money, everybody had.
Right.
The concerns for everyone, and everybody was taking care of at least seeing the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have problems with others.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think that it was very good.
There are a lot of benefits to that. But again, what I see, and this is based on me with three kids or four when I remarried, putting all of the kids' needs above my own and not really having a life outside of work or my kids. And to me, that was okay, because when I was taking care of other people, I didn't have to look at my vulnerabilities I just could pretend like I didn't have any needs and pretend like, and I was running so fast, I didn't have time for the space that Joanne talked about. And so we really have to pay attention. Susanna Joy Winter says we're often in complete denial of what we need to do to take care of ourselves. I was in complete denial that I wasn't taking care of myself. We ignore our palms getting sweaty or our stomachs jumping into our throats so often that we don't even notice it anymore. I was totally disconnected from my body. Had no clue when I was upset because I just didn't pay attention to any of the sensations in my body. So we're so busy anticipating the needs of others that we can't hear our own inner nurturer who's saying, you need this, slow down, take a rest, you know, get some sleep, read a book, do something. I couldn't hear that because I was so busy running and running. And Brené Brown says, when we stop numbing and start feeling and learning again, we have to reevaluate everything, especially how to choose loving ourselves over making other people comfortable. And I think my making other people comfortable was a strategy I used to numb myself so I didn't have to pay attention to what I was feeling. I used being busy to distract myself from having any needs. It's interesting, Jessica Brubaker, you can tell I listened to a lot of podcasts recently, said, when we're young, other people are responsible for our care, and they have three jobs. Affirm us so that we believe we're good enough, nurture us to meet our needs physically and emotionally, and set boundaries so we're safe and protected. When we grow up, we become responsible for those three jobs, affirming ourselves, nurturing ourselves, and setting boundaries for ourselves. In other words, we become responsible for taking care of ourselves. I moved from my mother taking care of me to me taking care of everybody and nobody taking care of me. On our way to adulthood, we pass through adolescence where we compare ourselves with others and we find ourselves lacking. And thus we enter adulthood feeling like we're not worth our own time and energy. And that's been very true for me. I didn't feel like I deserved to figure out what I wanted or to spend time. I felt guilty if I was doing things for myself. And so think about it. Have you ever done something for someone that you didn't want to do?
Sure.
Lots of times. Because we're not comfortable, we haven't figured out what it is we want and where our boundaries are, so we just say yes to everything, whether we want to or not. Have you ever eaten something you didn't want to eat because someone made it for you or gave it to you? Because we're not paying attention to what it is we need. You know, someone makes this delicious dessert and you're trying to watch your weight. Or maybe it's a delicious dessert that's not chocolate in my case, so I don't want to waste the calories. But I eat it anyway because I wouldn't want to hurt their feelings. Mm-hmm. So self-care is really all about being in a healthy, functional relationship with yourself. And in this relationship, you affirm yourself, telling yourself that you're good enough, that your needs matter, that you're worthy. You nurture yourself by giving yourself the opportunity to rest, to exercise, to play, to laugh. And you set healthy boundaries so you're not doing things that are not in the best interest of you and really in the best interest of those around you. It's not that you're ignoring other people's needs, but you're not putting them head and shoulders above your own needs.
So how do you politely then say to somebody, you know, you don't want to say, hey, I don't want your dessert. But if something like that is offered to you and you can say no, thank you, but people get a little insistent. And like you said, so then you eat it just anyway.
Right.
To be polite.
Yeah.
Mostly, yeah. Even though you weren't really wanting it. So are you saying there's a way that we cannot do that?
Well, there's a way. And I can't say that I am able to do this, that I have the skill, but you can say no thank you every time they ask. And when and a third no thank you, I think they get the message. If they don't, you could say it looks delicious, but this is not what I need right now.
Well, the other polite way, in my case, I can do it. Is let me have it. I am going to rent my house. If I eat over there, or is there the eating over there, but I don't damage the feelings of the others.
Yeah, and you've got it's a balancing act. You don't want to be rude to people, but yet your needs are just your need to not eat that is just as important as their need to give it to you.
Maybe is there a middle ground, like you can say, oh, that looks delicious, I'm going to have one tiny bite, but, you know, or something like that, so you're not, like, rejecting their, or what they call the bid, you know, but you're not eating the whole piece either, you know,
right.
It's something like that where, and I think there's gradients of, you know, somebody who wants to get together, but you're not really feeling like it, you could say, let's chat by phone. I've got like 10 minutes. I can chat by phone rather than spending the whole afternoon with somebody. I mean, I think that we can, I mean, I, I don't know. It doesn't have to be either or. I mean, right. All or nothing.
So what Jody...
There can be gradients.
What Jody's really talking about is we've figured out what our boundaries are and we're communicating them. I will not eat the whole piece, but I will eat one bite. That's my boundary. I will not spend the whole afternoon with you, but I will talk with you by phone. That's set. Because when you set the boundary, you don't want to just say what you won't do. You also want to communicate what you will do. Mm-hmm. And that makes people feel a little bit less. Mm-hmm. And there are going to be times where you're going to eat something because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings. You know, we're not going to be perfect on this. But we're going to take baby steps in that direction to say, you know, what really do I really want? What do I really need? And not do it just because somebody else wants me to do it. So you need to, in order to do that, you need to charge your batteries. You can't be strong when you're operating on low power. You have to, so we're going to take a look at some different places where you can find battery chargers. And that's the handout that I had sent. I'm going to comment on a few of the less common items that I haven't heard about a lot in a little bit more detail. And after each area, I'll give a couple minutes for you to just look at that and kind of reflect on it. So in the physical area, one of the ones is creating a tranquil environment that you can go to recharge. And Jean, this reminded me of you telling us about the space in your house where you can sit and look out in your backyard. And it's might be a place in nature. It might be a room in your house. It's got restorative elements to contact all the mental fatigue and the attention depletion. You know, with so much calling on our attention gets depleted. So we need somewhere we can go to just chill. And researchers Rachel and Stephen Kaplan found there's four essential elements of a restorative environment. First is a sense of getting away. Second is a feeling of immersion, that you're just totally there. Third is holding your attention without any effort on your part. And fourth is compatibility with one's preferences. And so we all need a place where we can just sit in a tranquil environment. Because I know I've tried to do some retreats at home, online retreats, and my home is not the tranquil environment for a retreat because there's just too many distractions. I mean, I have tranquil places, but that is not the right tranquil environment for that activity. And so we all need to think about what are some of the things I can do to create a spot like that for myself. So if you're looking at your battery chargers, let's just take a moment to reflect on the physical battery chargers that you could be implement, that maybe you already have implemented or you could be implementing. And start by asking yourself the questions like, are you getting adequate sleep? Is your diet fueling your body? Looking at those questions and then consider just some of the ideas that I had. Some of them you're already doing. Some you may want to implement. And maybe you have some ideas that aren't even on there that maybe all of us could benefit from thinking about. So let's just take a moment to look at that.
The physical one right now?
The physical one. Just the physical. Let's move on to the psychological. And there's a couple that are less common that you may not, that I'd just like to explain a little more thoroughly. The first is allow yourself to be vulnerable. Now, that doesn't sound like that's going to help recharge your batteries because it's pretty scary. But while vulnerability is hard, if we allow it, we increase our ability to let in joy and love. If we mute our negative emotions or our difficult emotions, we also mute the beautiful emotions. And so by allowing ourselves to be vulnerable, we turn the volume up on all our emotions and can feel the good better. When we build up walls to keep the bad hidden, the walls also hide the good. So allowing yourself to be vulnerable can actually feel like a relief afterwards because you're working so hard to keep that hidden and it frees up the energy.
Maria?
Yes.
I'm not sure if this was a battery charger, but one of the things that keeps me kind of on a more even keel is sort of listening to my self-talk, you know, mm-hmm. and making sure that it's not super negative, you know, mm-hmm. going to that dark place, and making sure that I'm saying loving things to myself and being and just being realistic in my head rather than going, you know, oh, this is horrible. Oh, I'm, you know, kind of working myself more into a deeper frenzy about things.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, absolutely.
I don't know if that would fit in here or where that would fit. Do you
well,
see that as a
under
charger or is that just kind of a neutral thing? I don't know.
I had that under psychological practice, saying 5 positive things to yourself.
Oh, okay.
Because okay. Some of us have to practice saying positive things to ourselves before we get to doing it like you're doing it kind of in everyday life. Another one is slowly take off your armor. We continue letting our armor tether us down, even though the armor really no longer works and it's really heavy. We keep doing things that hold us back, even though they don't make us happy, they don't bring us joy, and they keep us from being where we really want to be. So sometimes we have to take off our armor because it's preventing us from being who we want to be. And that's very exhausting to have this mask on that you always have to be this persona. It just is an energy suck, and letting yourself be your true self, you're not wasting all that energy trying to hide. Letting go of perfectionism. This was interesting. Brené Brown says, perfectionism is an excuse we use to protect ourselves from getting hurt. And it also can prevent us from being seen. And we're all perfectly imperfect, so it's not realistic to expect perfection from yourself. It's unrealistic. So we have to just accept that we're perfectly imperfect and let that be. And again, that frees up all the energy of going the extra 10 steps that really didn't need to happen on any project that you're doing. Brené Brown says, when perfectionism is driving, shame is always riding shotgun. And fear is the annoying backseat driver.
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It is.
Say that again.
Yeah. So when perfectionism is driving, shame is always riding shotgun, and fear is the annoying backseat driver.
That is good.
Mm-hmm. And then another one is, and it goes along with taking off your armor, is practice authenticity. We're not born with authenticity. It's a skill that we develop, or a skill that we undevelop in some of our cases. It's slowing down enough to see who we want to be and having the courage to let go of things that others want us to be.
I have to
to question that, because I think of a baby as pretty darn authentic. And I think it's the messages that we as young children grow up with that teach us our authenticity isn't okay.
That's true.
And sometimes it isn't. You do have to learn. That's why if you have adults who are there with good boundaries, you learn, oh, that's not such a good way to be. Not throwing a fit over everything isn't so good.
Right. Yes.
Eventually you learn. But sometimes a lot of us learn things that aren't supporting our authenticity.
Yeah. And I think, and this again comes from Brené Brown, is that sometimes people think, well, you know, they're authentic because they're naturally authentic. And so her quote, there are no authentic or inauthentic people. Authenticity is a practice. You choose it every day. Am I going to show up and let myself be seen? That's a choice.
Yeah.
So it's a skill that we have to have the courage to show up and let ourselves be seen.
A lot of us have learned fear.
Right.
We're not good enough.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Okay, so let's again take a moment to look through the psychological, answering the questions and considering what you are currently doing and what you may want to do. So let's move on to the social. And one of them is sharing your story. If you curate your life story, no one will get to know the authentic you. If you have enough courage to share both your joys and your sorrows, your strengths and your weaknesses, people will see the true you, thus increasing your connection to them. Remember that curating your life is the near enemy of connection. We think it connects us, but it actually hinders our connection. So other social ones would be receiving the love that comes to you. How often are we not open to the love people are sharing with us? And another one, which is one I really need to work on, is ask for what you need, but you're afraid to ask for. You don't have to do everything by yourself. You can accept help. And people are usually happy to give you some help. But you've got to be able to ask for it. So again, let's take a moment to look over the social area and see what rings true for you.
Are you included in this point, the social? Are you included the FaceTime through the internet also?
Yes, yeah. moving on to the emotional.
Can I just go back a little bit?
Oh, sure.
Practice hugging meditation. I don't remember what the hugging meditation is.
It's hugging for more than 1 second, usually 10 seconds. Something I do with my husband each morning is we do hugging meditation. We just hug and send love to each other. And it's a practice that was recommended by Thich Nhat Hanh. That's where the name came from, hugging meditation. That it's just a way to, you know.
And you can hug yourself, too.
You can hug, yeah. You could hug yourself, too.
Sometimes you got to start there.
Yeah. So.
Well, you need a hug.
Yeah.
We need.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So going back to the emotional, I want to talk about laugh every single day. And here's a quote from Yvonne Thomas, a psychologist. She says, incorporating humor and laughter into your life can help lighten your mood and provide a temporary break from life's stresses and upsets. Laughter can actually trigger the release of the brain chemical serotonin, which in turn decreases depression. Laughter and humor don't just make you feel better emotionally, but they help you breathe more fully and help your heart function better with more oxygenated blood pumping through the body. Laughter can shield the blood vessels and the heart muscles from cardiovascular disease by having an anti-inflammatory effect. So make the conscious choice to bring that levity into your life for at least 10 minutes per day through a humorous podcast, comedian, sitcoms, jokes, and so on to make you feel better physically and emotionally. Mm-hmm. So let's take a moment to look through the emotional.
What rain is again?
What is this
thing? Pardon me, Jody?
Rain. Oh, could you remind us what rain is again?
Yeah,
or am I
yes.
The one that doesn't remember?
No, rain is a technique for dealing with difficult emotions. It's you recognize the emotion, you accept that it's there, you investigate it, and then you nurture yourself. And we'll, one of these. That would be a good topic coming up soon.
Would you like to repeat the...
Yeah. Recognize, accept, investigate, and nurture.
The last one was?
Nurture. And the last area where you might find a battery charger is spiritual. And one of the ones that you may not have thought of when you think about spiritual is experiencing awe. And I know, Judy, that's a practice you've been doing, experiencing awe. But experiencing awe makes us feel like we're part of something bigger and something kind of miraculous. So it's just a practice you may want to try. To improve, you know, to recharge yourself spiritually.
I was just wondering, Judy, is there something specific you do to experience awe?
No, it's just what I observe.
So she's...
What I observe.
She's taking the time to observe things and see the awe in them. So you could walk down the street and there could be a beautiful bush that you don't see. Or you could walk down the street and there's a beautiful bush and you think, oh, this is beautiful.
The rainbow.
Right. Yeah. Does that explain it, Judy?
Yeah.
When it's raining, also it's beautiful to see
how mm-hmm.
water comes down.
Yeah. So let's take a moment to look through the spiritual.
really helps me, and I don't know whether this is spiritual, but it feels kind of spiritual, is music.
Yeah.
Listening to music. Mm-hmm. And I can get into the awe state with that too, but music is so powerful, and I think that it gets to my soul. So wherever it hits here, remind people of the power of music.
Okay.
Watching a good movie is a good part to practice.
Yeah, watching a good movie can be a way to recharge.
Or a good book.
Yeah.
So that brings us to a couple of questions that if you downloaded the handout that I emailed, they won't be on there. I added them right before I printed it because I listened to a different podcast this morning. And it's answering the question, and I'd like us to discuss this question, what is fun for you? Hmm. So listening to music, watching a good movie, reading a good book, maybe things that are fun. But a lot of adults can't say what's fun for them.
Being happy with yourself.
I'm one of those people who can't say what's fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends who tell me that I have to learn about fun.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm in that same category. What's fun for me is playing with my grandkids because I have more belly laughs with them.
Going on a lark is my thing. Going on a lark is just going off by myself in the car with my dog and just ending up somewhere. Oh, we'll just go for a walk right here now. And it's just a little, giving myself a little bit of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Going on a lark.
For me, it's exercise. I love it. I do it every morning going to the gym, and then Judy and I go walking. And we usually walk through the Arboretum. Unless it's bad weather, then we walk the mall, which isn't quite as nice. But I feel so much better. I know I'm doing something good for my body, but it just clears my head and makes mm-hmm. me feel happy. And it's a big component of my life
mm-hmm.
to be moving.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take it a different direction because I've been trying hiking the things, walking and stuff like that. I love all of those and listening to music and dancing, but I'm also trying to reconnect with my inner child. I know that's a phrase from the 60s, but bubbles and splashing in a little wave pool and silly string and playing, like messing around. I have a kazoo on the shelf, and I just sometimes will blow into the kazoo and do silly songs and just trying to get back to that inner 4-year-old, where,
mm-hmm.
And I think that as adults, we sometimes forget that there's a whole world to play out there, Play-Doh and sand and just, silly things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like to play.
Yeah, play is important.
Play what?
All those things she just mentioned.
I didn't hear the whole thing.
Oh, she mentioned playing like with silly string or a kazoo or sand or splashing in the water.
Bubbles.
Yeah.
When was the last time anybody flew a kite? I bought myself a kite.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been going out and just flying the kite. It's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. So the other question is, what brings you joy? Now, it may be the same things you think are fun, but what in your life brings you joy?
For me, when I learn something new.
Learning something new?
Oh, that's nice, yeah. But to me, I get joy when I hear children laugh.
For me, I think it's my pets and my nieces and nephews.
Mm-hmm.
me, it's grandkids.
I like looking at prints online, like fabric or flowers, anything like that. It's just the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
So nature and so being outside, walking, grandkids, and my dog.
Mm-hmm.
Joy to me is being out in nature and also being with people that have been in connection. It's really important that it's a joy that I think at deeper level than just play or fun.
Mm-hmm.
So. I enjoy good smells and fragrances.
Mm-hmm.
I love smelling the lilacs that were in bloom recently, the last couple of weeks. And then I went on a hunt to find a lilac perfume because I want to smell that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought one. It doesn't smell like lilac.
Doesn't work. Darn it.
So I got this bottle.
Yeah.
So, I love the nice fragrance. It's the same thing of nothing smells better, I think, than walking into someone's home and you're smelling like bread baking or something, or popcorn, there you go.
Yeah.
So fragrance brings me joy.
Yeah. For me, happiness is to realize how things I can still doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me happy. It's gratitude mm-hmm. also.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That is enjoying me.
And I don't think I can ever be happy unless I have confidence. On a day when I have confidence in myself, then you really feel happy.
Mm.
It's true.
Yeah, that's very true.
Positive feedback. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And to think about what comes first. You know, I think it was Jean that was talking about confidence. What comes first, though? I mean, sometimes if I'm feeling down and then I go out and look at nature or I experience something beautiful, and then that calms me down enough to get to the point where I can nurture myself and have that positivity. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to do the things that get me to that.
And who doesn't like a compliment? Everybody loves to have a nice compliment, and I don't think we give them enough.
No, I don't think we do.
We have to say it.
Well, okay, I'll say one. I love being here twice a month with you guys. This is a big deal for me. I really do enjoy this.
I find the way to be free of myself. Coming over here, hearing, sharing,
mm-hmm.
seeing all of you over here,
mm-hmm.
seeing all of them over there. I like
it. Now, meditation is growing and growing. That's one of the best ways for me to take care of myself, is just stop, breathe. And I fall off my horse all the time, but that keeps helping me keep going on my own discipline.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important.
Okay. Anyone else have any thoughts you wanted to share?
Nothing that hasn't been said already. I just recently picked up a new hobby with a girlfriend. We started acrylic painting together.
Oh.
We watched some YouTube videos, went out and bought some supplies and get together once a week for 2 or 3 or 4 hours, and then time just, you look at your watch and realize 4 hours have gone by. And
Oh, that's fun.
So then when I go out and see nature, which always brought me joy, and then I see the, how would I paint that, or how do the colors play?
Mm-hmm.
How wonderful.
It's fun.
You are becoming an artist,
huh? I wouldn't go so far as to say that, but it's fun. I enjoy
myself. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I can do it. Anybody can do it.
Yeah. Cool.
Very good.
Okay.
We are going up and up. That's great.
Yeah. Okay, well, shall we move on to a